From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
Here is the news, I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin with national news. President Joko Widodo highlighted the government's continued efforts to reform public service and licensing sector to lower the possibility of corruption. Escorted by the Randus Agency, he pointed out at a virtual function marking World Anti-Corruption Day 2020 from the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday, that reforming sector related to public interest, including the micro, small, and medium business sector, will be high on the list of the government's priorities. He also affirmed that the sector influencing the business ecosystem, particularly micro, small, and medium business, will be paid attention. He further said that the government will continue to structurally reform the sector on a large scale. As a result, this will simplify overlapping and complicated regulation and bureaucracy. Vice President Maruf Amin has sought a more effective blueprint to accelerate the development in Papua and West Papua province. As quoted by the Randus Agency, he stated at the Vice President's Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday that the government has to build a new system and design a more effective way of working to be able to produce the leap in the advancement of the people's welfare of Papua and West Papua. At a meeting of the steering committee for the integrated team for the acceleration of welfare development in Papua and West Papua province, Vice President Maruf Amin asked his rank and file to immediately draft a new system so that it can be implemented next year. He further explained that the new design for the development of Papua and West Papua should emphasize the cultural approach with priority accorded to 7 customary areas. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises BUMN Erick Thohir assessed that digital innovation has become the key to facing the pandemic both now and in the future. As reported by the Randus Agency, he explained during an online seminar in Jakarta on Wednesday that the government is aware that Indonesia's enemy is a pandemic now and in the future. Thereby, aspects of digitization are very helpful. He believes that the key is to streamline digital saving service to customers, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic. The endeavor is aimed at preventing the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic from face-to-face or in-person meetings. He further said that in addition, the most important aspect is to improve service for customers of state-owned bank association Himbara. In his presentation, Minister Erick assessed that ASDP ferry ticket purchase in online application through FerryEasy currently made it easier for the public. Ambassador of the European Union to Indonesia, Vincent Piquet, revealed that 27 nation bloc had apportioned 28.9 billion rupiah in funds to facilitate the handling of COVID-19 impact in Indonesia during a virtual launch of Indonesia COVID-19 Pandemic Emergency Response, ICOPE. In cooperation with Wahana Visi Indonesia on Wednesday, Vincent stated that the fund is aimed at reducing the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on the community, particularly children in several regions in Indonesia. As reported by the Randus Agency, he remarked that ICO program is intended to curtail the impact of the COVID-19 on the community. He also affirmed the assistance is a manifestation of cooperation between Indonesia and the European Union. Let's move on to the international news. The World Health Organization has urged Europeans to wear masks during family gatherings at Christmas. As quoted by BBC.com on Wednesday, Europe is at high risk of a new wave of coronavirus infection early 2021, as transmission of the virus remained high. Countries across the continent have been registering thousands of daily cases and hundreds of deaths. Germany was one of the countries to have tightened restrictions since Wednesday, closing schools and non-essential businesses. Meanwhile, President of the European Commission Ursula von der Leyen explained that the first COVID vaccine would be authorized for use within a week. She also told the European Parliament that Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine developed in Germany would be rolled out for the bloc immediately, more than a week earlier than originally envisaged. The World Health Organization WHO has said a team consisting of 10 international scientists will travel to Wuhan City, China next month to investigate the origins of the COVID-19. China has not opposed an independent investigation, although the WHO has been negotiating for access to the city for a few months. As quoted by BBC.com on Wednesday, the virus is thought to have come from a market in the city selling animals, but the search for the source has led to tension. Notably with the US, President Donald Trump administration has accused China of trying to conceal the initial outbreak. A biologist on the team told the Associated Press news agency that the WHO is not seeking to apportion blame, but rather to prevent future outbreaks. Fabian Lenders, the Robert Koch Institute, stated, "It's really not about finding a guilty country, but it's about trying to understand what happened and then see if, based on those data, the Institute can try to reduce the risk in the future." Canadian Minister of Innovation Navdeep Bains stated on Wednesday that announcing a formal deal with Washington, Canada will, for the first time, send an astronaut to circle the moon on a U.S. mission planned for 2023. As reported by Reuters.com on Wednesday last week, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence unveiled an 18-strong pool of people who could go to the moon under NASA's Artemis program, which Canada is now a part of. Artemis is designed to send several missions to the moon. The Canadian astronaut, who has yet to be named, will take part in the second trip, which is scheduled to fly around the moon on a 10-day journey in 2023. Bains told a news conference that all eyes will look to the sky as one of the astronauts becomes the first Canadian to travel around the moon. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Here is today's commentary. Indonesian government launched the pre-employment card program on April 11, 2020. This is a program for working competency and entrepreneurship development aimed for job seekers or anyone needing competency improvement, including micro and small business people. All Indonesian citizens at least 18 years old and not undergoing any formal education can join the pre-employment card. According to the early concept initiated by President Joko Widodo, the pre-employment card is an effort to increase working competency, productivity, and competitiveness of Indonesian manpower. This program aims to realize the vision of top human resources, which is the priority of Joko Widodo's second tenure. However, the COVID-19 pandemic expanded the pre-employment card function, namely social security, during the pandemic. Every pre-employment card owners receive aid worth around 3.5 million rupiahs, consisting of scholarship for training and incentive that are given for 4 months. In the ecosystem of pre-employment card programs, currently there are 7 digital platforms and 165 training agencies providing more than 2,000 types of training. Until now, there are 7 favorite training categories, namely sales and marketing, foreign language including English, Korean, Mandarin, Japanese, and Arabic, IT, office, food and beverage, lifestyle, and finance. Since the launching on April 11, 2020, many people have been enthusiastic about the program. According to data from the Coordinating Ministry for Economy, the registration for pre-employment cards on prakerja.go.id until September the 4th had reached 15.9 million registrants. In 6 registration periods, 3 million people from 34 provinces of Indonesia were granted the pre-employment card. Some 849,000 had finished their first training and 610,000 had received incentive. Considering the positive result from the pre-employment card, Indonesian government has decided to continue this program in 2021. If continued, the government will need to improve the learning module and expand the pre-employment card recipient. The module improvement aims to guarantee the training quality. The training contents of the pre-employment card program must also be more practical to fulfill the participants' need in seeking a new job or a capital to begin a new business amid the COVID-19 pandemic. And that's the commentary.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, our daily segment, Today in History, starts with the event on December 17, 1903, about the first aircraft flight by the Wright brothers. The Wright brothers consist of two brothers, namely Orville Wright and Wilbur Wright. On December 17, 1903, they flew for the first time a control aircraft as far as 4 miles near the sandy hills of Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, United States. The plane was piloted by Orville for 12 seconds, which was able to fly to a height of 37 meters from the ground. The plane was originally called the Wright Flyer, but is now more popularly known as the Kitty Hawk. Now, the original flyer is displayed at the Aerospace Museum in Washington, D.C. Next event is that in 1951, the Civil Rights Congress Organization in the United States submitted the We Charge Genocide document to the United Nations. We Charge Genocide is a document that contains the charge against the United States government of committing genocide to Negroes. This paper was written by the Civil Rights Congress and presented to the United Nations at a meeting in Paris, France on 17 December 1951. The document shows that the United Nations Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of Genocide defines genocide as acts committed with the intention of destroying a group in whole or in part. The last event is that in 1960, a C-131D plane crashed. On December 17, 1960, a C-131D aircraft operated by the United States Air Force on a flight from Munich to Rough, Northolt, England, crashed shortly after taking off from Munich Reims Airport due to fuel contamination. All 20 passengers and crew and 32 people on the ground were killed. An accident investigation revealed that there was some water in the fuel tank pump. Because the water was much more than the fuel, it could settle to the bottom of the tank, entering the pump inlet. And this caused the Munich C-131 to lose power and cause the engine to stop. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Ku ingin tahu, kau harus mau. Ku ingin kau begitu, agar kau tahu, jadilah engkau milikku selalu, untukku. Tanpa tersentuh, cuma aku. Bila ku mati, kau juga mati. Walau tak ada cinta, sehidup semati, jadilah engkau milikku selalu.
tanpa tersentuh. Cuma aku mengapa aku begini. Jangan kau pertanyakan. Bila ku mati, kau juga mati. Bapak ada cinta sehidup semati.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia, entitled, Indonesia has the opportunity to receive $110 million from Red Plus in East Kalimantan. Indonesia has the opportunity to receive results-based payment of up to $110 million, or around 1.5 trillion rupiah, for the World Bank's program to reduce 22 million tons of carbon dioxide emissions from deforestation and forest degradation plus, or red plus, in East Kalimantan. Acting Head of Research and Development Center for Socio-Economic Policy and Climate Change of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Hoirul Ahmad, in his press statement as reported by Antara in Jakarta on Tuesday, December 15, said that Indonesia was ready to implement a performance-based payment program resulting from reducing carbon emissions from deforestation and forest degradation through the World Bank's Forest Carbon Partnership Facilities Carbon Fund FCPCCF program. The readiness for the implementation phase is a follow-up to the electronic signing of the Emission Reduction Payment Agreement document between the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, represented by Secretary General Bambang Hendroyono and the Country Director of World Bank Indonesia Timor Leste Regional 1, Kahkonen, on November 27. Hoirul Ahmad said that the FCPF readiness grant has been going on for a very long time, since 2011. In 2015, East Kalimantan Province was chosen as the location for the FCPV Carbon Fund pilot project, and up to 2020, it had passed various stages of fulfilling the very strict requirements requested by the World Bank. During the FCPF Readiness Fund phase, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry and Provincial Government of East Kalimantan submitted an emission reduction program document and received approval in February 2019. In addition, various Red Plus tools have been prepared in East Kalimantan Province, such as measurement, monitoring and reporting, safeguard and benefit sharing mechanisms, capacity building, strengthening of institution, and preparation for the implementation. Listener, that was my Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Jabat tanganku mungkin untuk yang terakhir kali kita berbincang tentang memori di masa itu. Peluk tubuhku, usapkan juga air mataku. Kita terharu seakan tiada bertemu lagi. Bersenang-senanglah, karena hari ini yang kan kita rindukan di hari nanti, sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Bersenang-senanglah, karena hari ini yang kan kita banggakan di hari tua. Oh, sampai jumpa kawanku, semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Sampai jumpa kawanku, semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Bersenang-senanglah, karena hari ini yang kan kita rindukan di hari tua. Oh, sampai jumpa kawanku, semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Sampai jumpa kawanku, semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Da-da, da-da-da, 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 da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Mungkin diriku masih ingin bersama kalian. Mungkin jiwaku masih haus anjuran kalian.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I introduce you Ndundun Dake Dance from Manggarai Regency, East Nusa Tenggara. In the local language of the Manggarai people, Ndundu means the term for women, especially those from the Cibao sub-district. The subtle greeting for women in that area is Ndu, and Dake means free dance. So, Ndundun Dake means a typical dance of Manggarai women. Ndundun Dake can also be defined as a dancing woman, where the woman is invited and hugged by a man while dancing. This dance also shows the enthusiasm of the Manggarai people with a rhythm is adjusted to the drum beats. Ndundu Dake dance is performed by men and women. The female dancers wear Manggarai ikat songke woven sarongs combined with Indonesian kebaya and shawls and Bali Belo headbands, songke pattern shawls and bero or Manggarai traditional clothing for women, while male dancers wear songke sarongs. The men are required to use a red handkerchief that symbolizes courage and love. The male dancers wear a sapu or destar on their head. This dance is usually performed during wedding ceremonies and traditional ceremonies of congko lokap or traditional house cleaning, village thanksgiving, pantry traditional ceremony, thanksgiving of harvest or New Year. Ndundun Dake typical dance of Manggarai is still preserved until at present by making the dance as local content of teaching at schools. The Ndundun Dake dance has recorded two Muri record at once in 2011, namely the record with the most participants, which are 2,011 people, and the dance wearing the most songke shawls, which are 2,011 shawls. The dance, which was performed for approximately 1 hour by 1,500 dancers to welcome participants of Tour de Flores 2017, also received an award from the World Indonesia Achievement Institute, LAPRIT. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today.
Para waktunya hasratku dan cintaku, kaulah segalanya. Izinkan diriku bersamamu, karena sesungguhnya ku rindukan dekapanmu. Ku janjikan setia, berdua kita jalin kasih dalam satu ikatan cinta. Tuhan tolong jaga dirinya di sana, aku di sini kan menunggu hingga diriku dan dirinya indah perawan. Tuhan tolong jaga dirinya di sana, aku di sini kan menunggu hingga diriku dan dirinya indah perawan.
Listeners, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, in today's miscellany has a topic, National Discount Festival 2020. The Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises and the State-Owned Enterprises collaborate to bring the Indonesian economy, especially the real sector, out of the pressure of the COVID-19 pandemic. Therefore, both sides hold the National Discount Festival, which has taken place in December 16 until 31st, 2020. The National Discount Festival is an event that aims to promote various well-known local products as well as the creations of micro, small and medium enterprises. At the event that aims to encourage consumer purchasing power, various attractive discounts are offered with quality local product merchants. Hopefully, this initiative can help turn the wheels of the economy and bring optimism to business people in Indonesia and the wider community in the context of the national economic recovery. The festival is the response of the state-owned enterprises to the government initiative which campaigns for the National Proud Indonesian Movement, BBI, through the synergy of various ministries coordinated by the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investments of the Republic of Indonesia,
labeling with the tagline "Buy One, Grow a Thousand." The National Discount Festival is a medium for Indonesians to support the existence of local entrepreneurs and micro, small, and medium enterprises. This event intends to raise public awareness that every poor cash transaction made will greatly help thousands of micro, small, and medium enterprises players to survive and rise from economic conditions that are still full of uncertainty. By simply shopping for local products and products of micro, small, and medium enterprises, every member of the community has become a hero for the other nation's children. This action will also further emphasize the support of all Indonesian people for local products so that they can become host in their own country and not lose in competition with the various global brands. The National Discount Festival also collaborates with IDEA, or Indonesian E-Commerce Association, through organizing the National Online Shopping Day, or Harbolnas, on 11 until 12 December 2020. Not limited to products sold on online, the National Discount Festival also collaborates with HIPPINDO, or the Association of Indonesian Shopping Center Retailers and Renters. By synergizing the Indonesia Discount Shopping Day program, which is participated by various merchants in Indonesian shopping centers, to enhance public shopping interest, the National Discount Festival campaign is also enlivened by a variety of interesting activities and performances such as talk shows, workshops, lottery, flash sale programs, virtual music concerts, and so on. Complete information about various discount programs and ongoing events, check the website at festivaldiscountnational.com. That was Miss Seleni.
Say what to Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegi mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forcom, the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen.Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today we will present a song by Christine Panjaitan entitled Katakan Sejujurnya. In the 1980s, the name of Christine Panjaitan popular through the song Sudah Kubilang, Tangan Tak Sampai, Jangan Simpan Tangismu, and Katakan Sejujurnya. The song Katakan Sejujurnya is included in the album of the same name, which was released in 1987. This song, which was composed by Rinto Harahap, tells the story of a couple lover who love each other but eventually get separated because of a difference. In 2014, Armada Band re-released this song with a new version as a form of appreciation for the songwriter Rinto Harahap.Listener, let's listen to the song Katakan Sejujurnya by Christine Panjaitan. Enjoy the song.
Artinya
Voice of Indonesia.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.